a very warm welcome to Just the Tips in association with From the Horse's Mouth ahead of another bumper weekend of horse racing action. My name is Rob Catterson. I'm filling in for PK this week. But the good news is that the rest of our panel hasn't changed, with the expertise once again supplied by our very own Paddy Power and our expert trader, Frank Hickey. Guys, how are you?
Wonderful, Rob. How are you getting on?
Yeah, we're good. Paddy, no doubt you'll be happy that the flat dominates the Saturday action. 2 weeks ago, your nap landed and you were giving us 11-9-1 winners in the Curragh, I believe.
Yeah, that's true. And hopefully about 4 weeks' time, you'll be saying 6 weeks ago, you're giving me 11-1 winners in the Curragh. Yeah, it was pretty jammy, actually. That was the very start of the flat. So I'm thinking that my luck is in. I can't say my eye is in, but my luck is in. And as Napoleon always said, give me a lucky general any day.
Yeah, this is your bread and butter. And Frank, we've had 3 days of the Craven meeting, the Newmarket. Anything catch your eye? Anything we should be noting going forward?
I'm not sure Mass of the Seas will win the Guineas. I think what to take out of it is the vibes seem to be very strong about one ruler. And the fact that Charlie Appleby had the 1-2 in the Craven might suggest he has a big chance in the Guineas. It was taken by Bill also, won the maiden on Thursday, the first race. Yeah. Won very impressively. I don't know what the race was like. We'll find out in time, but the horse looked pretty useful now. Definitely caught my eye.
And more importantly, how's the trip to Turkey fun coming along?
We've work to do, Rob. Work to do.
Any sign of a GoFundMe page yet, is there?
Well, to be fair, like, as good form as Paddy's in, I couldn't be more out of form. The last couple of weeks tipping have been appalling, so I have to hold my hands up and say I'll try and do better this week.
Okay, well, no doubt you will make up for it. Right, let's crack on. Busy weekend coming up, so let's get cracking. We're going to start with Saturday. It's a quiet Saturday because obviously the ITV racing is on Sunday, but we've got a really good card at the Curragh. And Paddy, I'm going to start with you. The first of the two Group 3s is the Gladness Stakes. Lancaster House won this last year, and he's back.
Yeah, he's back. And, you know, he won very well last year. We all had a bit pear-shaped after that, didn't it? But probably has a decent chance. I'm actually going to go for Fiscal Rules here, though. It was second enlisted race at Cork the last time over six, and has only run twice over seven furlongs. His first ever race, he's beaten ahead by Wichita. And 3 runs ago, he won his maiden well at Cork. So I think the drying ground is going to suit Fiscal Rules. Bulger normally starts the season pretty well. He's in okay form at the moment as a stable. So, Fiscal Rules for me.
Yeah, and Frank?
I'd agree with Paddy. Only had the 1 run as a juvenile, as Paddy said there, when he was beaten ahead by Wichita. I thought it was significant they pitched him straight into the 1,000 Guineas on just the second start then last year. And he wasn't disgraced, and only beaten 4 lengths in fifth in the Irish Derby. I thought his reappearance run at Cork was massively eye-catching, travelled really well. It wasn't a strongly run race down to 6 furlongs. But the fact that he'd been running at 1.5 miles last year and could travel like that in a 6 furlong race, he was obviously done for a bit of speed by last a minute. But I think stepping back up, even if it's just only just a furlong on a bit of a stiffer track at the Curragh, is going to suit him. And I think he's got a decent each way chance at least.
That's a great start. This is going to be easy. Right, let's move on to the alleged stakes. It's the other Group 3 in the Curragh. And Frank, we've got the Doha Destroyer, I think we'll call him, in Bowerman, taking on Broome, who bolted up at Naas, and 8 other runners here. It's a good race.
It is. Look, he's a very sharp price, but it's very difficult to take Broome on here. He was obviously top-class 3-year-old, only beaten 1/2 length in the Derby, only ran 3 times since in the rest of that season last year. He didn't stay 2 miles in the Long Distance Cup last year, and his other 2 runs were in Group 1s. Made his reappearance in a listed race over 10 furlongs at Naas last month, and he just looked like the horse he was early in his 3-year-old career. He's back up in grade here, but he's £4 clear, at least, and that's ahead of King of Comedy, who the mark may flatter him, to be honest. He doesn't look the force of old at all, so while he's a sharp price, you'd be pretty disappointed if he can't get the job done here.
Yeah, he could have a big season ahead. Paddy, is he banker material or would you look somewhere else?
I think banker material, yeah. I think Bowerman, you'd say, like, maybe, I'm guessing, coming back from, you might be a little bit jet-lagged or whatever happens, horses anyway, might be just on his game. But Broome, the way he was so impressive, like, at Naas, as Frank said. And Aidan O'Brien's horses have been a bit in and out. Like, some of them ran awful at Newmarket, like, so. But that nearly strengthens your opinion of his run at Naas, you know what I mean? Because if the rest of the stable aren't, like, actually banging them in. So I think, Broome is banker material, yeah.
Okay. No doubt Frank will have loads of tips for us elsewhere on Saturday. So, Paddy, I'll start with you. Is there anything else on the Curragh card or further afield in the UK on Saturday we should keep an eye out for?
Well, I'll make it really straightforward and say, no, I've got my 10 out now to write down. Thanks.
Yeah, I have a few, Rob. At the Curragh, the 2 o'clock, Missy Matron was only second string Jim Bulger at the Curragh for 5 for an maiden, but I was really taken the way it won, winning by 3.5 lengths. There was only hands and heels riding, and maybe she won due to handling the heavy ground better than the rest, but it was difficult not to be impressed. The second, It'll Do My Day, won its next start at Cork. The fourth that day was Silver Surfer, who was beaten 10.5 lengths. On his next start, he was beaten 3.5 lengths by Cadamasso, who goes against Missing Matron here. Cadamasso's trained by Aidan O'Brien. The market's likely to favour Cadamasso, being an Aidan O'Brien first-time-out 2-year-old winner. But I think Bulger's filly might be very useful, and she might be a small bit of value to turn him over. And then in the 450, 6 furlong maiden. This one hopefully be a little bit of a price. Valhalla's Dream, for I think it's Tony Mullins trained, was nibbled at big prices on debut to Curragh over 7 furlongs in testing ground last month. Definitely knew his job, was out to the lead easily. Only gave way inside the final furlong, finishing third. I think the drop back and trip to 6 furlongs might well suit him. I think there's every chance he'll get to the front here again and drop him back to 6 furlongs. He might be able to stay there. And, you know, I suspect he might be in around the 10-1 mark, which would be a fairy to way price. I'll give 2 very left field ones then away from the Curragh. Over Bangor in the 225, the bumper. Mel Rowley has a horse here called Autumn Equinox. They don't have too many bumper runners. I think before yesterday, they had 4 and 5 years. They had one run at Cheltenham yesterday. It was very well backed. I think it was 12 or 14 to 1 overnight. SP'd 11 to 2 and 1. Look, it wasn't the strongest Cheltenham bumper ever run, but, you know, the second horse had useful form and it won well. And this Autumn Equinox is a bit of a similar profile, winning his only point. And he is a half-bird at Kangaroo Court, and he's a very useful hurdler and chaser for Emma Lavelle. But just want to keep an eye on the market. If there was a small few Bob early and was going blue on odds checker, it might be worth a small few Bob. And over at Nottingham, one of my favourite trainers, Nigel Tinkler, has won in the 6:45, the 5 furlong handicap called Coley's Coco. Now, Nigel Tinkler actually had a really good season with his juveniles last year. You Better Believe It won the Group 2 Flying Chillers and was third in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint. And he had Acklam Express, who won at listed level and then was placed in the Group 1 Alquaz Sprint at Maidan there a few weeks ago. So the fact he had good 2-year-olds like that, it's interesting that this he wouldn't be noted for having 2-year-old debutant winners, but this Coley's Coco went off only 8-1 for a very useful Thirsk maiden at the start of last season. The winner, Kultum, is very useful. Won at Group 2 level, was narrowly beaten in the Group 1 Sheepley Park Stakes. The second, Digital's rated 81. Third, Blind Beggar rated 84. Ballantyre Harbour was 4th. She's won her next 2 starts. It's likely to get a mark in the low 80s. And even the 6th Bedford Flyer from that Thirst race is now rated 90. Coley's Coke was shaped brand that day, but it was a really warm race, really, for a Thirst maiden. Was a little bit disappointed at Belfordy on his next start. Was 4th and Musford, beaten 4 lengths. But the 3 in front of her that day were all rated in the high 70s, low 80s. She had a run the handicap of Bath in September, but you can put a line through that where she took a stumble halfway through the race and was lucky not to come down. She's actually been dropped 2 pounds to a mark of 60, and that's very workable, I think. I'd be shocked if she can't win a handicap. Whether she's ready to go first time out, I'm not sure, but at the likely price, I saw as big as 14 or 16 to 1 there. You know, you could take a chance at that price. That horse will rate higher than 60 before the season's out, I guarantee you.
Right, that's Saturday covered. Let's move on to Sunday.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Okay, lads, we've a bumper Sunday coming up because obviously the ITV action is all about Sunday this week. We've got Newbury and we've got Ayr to look forward to. The ITV schedule for Newbury has been swapped around because it's a double whammy if you've made the Division 1 of the maiden, because the first division's live on ITV and the second division's not. So Frank, I'm going to start with you. The opening maiden, 1 o'clock race, Newbury on Sunday. I guess we're in a little bit in the dark here, but the John Gosden Derab, he was second to Lira Barossa last season on his only run, and he's got a Dante and a Derby entry. Is he going to dominate the market?
Very likely. These races, as we said before, they're a lot of guesswork, really. It's hard to be too confident about them. The one thing I would say is, down at the bottom, Snow Lantern for Richard Hannon. I mentioned the podcast during the week that she'd been nibbled at big prices for the 1,000 guineas. And then when you go and look, you can kind of see why she was second at Ascot last July. She's bred to be very useful, being by Frankel out of Sky Lantern, who won a 1,000 guineas for Richard Hannon. Same owners here. While Derab, it's hard to know. Will Derab go off favourite? I wouldn't be surprised, considering the cash that came for Snow Lantern for the 1,000 guineas. Maybe she might go off favourite. And I think she's interesting. She might develop into a 1,000 guineas contender if she wins this nicely.
Yes, you got a favourable mention from Richard Hannon Jr. in Friday's stable, turned to Racing Post. Paddy, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm just like, I mean, you're kind of clutching at straws or licking your finger and holding the air here. And the one thing I've just jumped on is that Stout Stable are running at 50%. They have 9 winners from 18 runners so far. So I think for that reason, I'm going to go with Matt Noon for Michael Stout. But again, it's purely based on that stat. I mean, I don't have a rash of how good any of these are, like anybody else does. So until we see the market, it's hard to know.
Okay, let's move on to the first of the group action. It's the John Porter at 10 past 2. It's been a great stepping stone to bigger things. The likes of Warsan, Mubtacker, Harbing and Defoe all won this before going on to bigger things. Paddy, I'm going to start with you. What's the one to take out of the John Porter?
Okay, well, Al-Azi is going to be a pretty short price favourite, I think. And I'm going to go for one that looked very good. And no, I wouldn't say unbeatable, but very, very good without a fight. But then he stepped up to 1.6 and got well beaten. And I think that was the problem there. So dropping back down to 1.5, I think without a fight might be a little bit overpriced at 6-1 because I think the favourite's a little bit short. So yeah, I'm going for the Crispert horse without a fight.
Yeah, Andrea Cini on board. Frank, your thoughts?
I'm going to take a chance on Kips for Huey Morrison. Just look at the race. Like Al-Azi hasn't been seen since July. Deja not seen since August. Deja may want easier ground. On the figures, Kips will have an awful lot to do. Like you're looking at, say, you can generate 110, Al-Azi rate 108, Deja rate 112, and Kips only rated 93. So say, looking at the ratings, he has no chance. But it is interesting, his last start last year in the St. Simon Stakes, is it? Over this course and distance, he went off 11-4 favourite, despite being, you know, wrong at the ratings that day as well. I think the heavy ground just caught him out. He didn't handle it at all. He finished 4th of 8 that day, beating 7.5 lengths. But if you go back to his form last year, he actually hasn't won since his second start, which was as a juvenile. And last year, he ran really well without winning, placing in a lot of decent handicaps. But if you go back to the run at Royal Ascot in the King George V Stakes, he was 2nd off a mark of 83, splitting 2 horses called Hookham and Subjectivist. Hookham was running off 90 that day. He's now rated 114. Subjectivist is running off 94 and he's outraged 117. So it was probably a red hot renewal of that handicap. While, you know, on ratings, Kips is only rated 93. I think it's significant. They're forgoing, you know, winning a handicap with him, which he almost certainly would to have a shot at a Group 3. He's been gelded since we've last seen. I think the drying ground's going to suit him. And just the prices, I think he's worth a flyer because there's a few question marks about the market leaders here. And I take a chance on Kips.
Okay, Kips it is. The first of the two classic trials comes at 2:45. It's the Fred Darling. Hasn't been a great guy to 1,000 guineas in recent times, Frank. 2000 was the last time that the 1,000 guineas ran in this, and she didn't even manage to win the Fred Darling. What are you thinking? Because a few of these obviously have entries in the 1,000 guineas.
Yeah, look, the likes of Happy Romance, Alcohol Free, Isabella Giles, Dandala, they're going to, you know, head up the market. I'm not sure they set an insurmountable standard here. Look, they're all good finnies, but you know, are they really top class? I don't think so. I know Alcohol Free won a Group 1 their last start. But I just think it might be worth taking a chance on one of the more unexposed ones. And the one I came down on was Lucid Dreamer for Roger Charlton. He had his filly run well in the Nell Gwynn at Newmarket during the week. He says, I can't remember the name, is it Love Is You or something like that, where I think the ground may have been a little bit too lively for her. I think she wants proper cut, but she was staying on nicely. I think this Lucid Dreamer is very interesting. She definitely knew her job on debut at Kempton when she made all. Now, she was a little bit green, to be fair, but she still got the job done nicely, beating a horse that's now rated 80 or rated 90. Now, she was receiving weight from that horse who was carrying a penalty. But she followed up here at Newbury over this course and distance in September, very easily accounting for Teo Delina and Urban Violet, who'd shown useful form prior to that. The way you read the comments, you think that they think she's a horse that improve a lot too for that experience and a little bit more time. And I just don't think the top of the market is bomb proof, and she might be one to take a chance on at a little bit of a price. And, you know, when you're looking at that too, she's 25 to 1 for the guineas. Mightn't be the worst price either.
Yeah, because at the moment, everything's running for second in the 1,000 guineas, if you believe the vibes coming from Ballydoyle. But as you said, 25s before this race. If she wins well, she could be single figures.
Oh, 100%. Like, look, Santa Barbara, like, her reputation is obviously huge, but she's still only won a maiden. Yeah. And it'd be a very strange profile for an Aiden horse to win the 1,000 guineas. But look, he's obviously a master trainer. But, like, yeah, I think if you're going in at that sharp price in Santa Barbara, it wouldn't be for me now with, you know, the relatively limited, you know, evidence we have of how good she is. And for me, yeah, I think Lucid Dreamer is a very good horse. And she is, if I think she's from a decent family as well, I think her dad might be related to a logician. So, like, even stepping up to a mile or even 10 furlongs potentially could see her improve again. But yeah, I just think she's worth taking a chance at the prices for Saturday, or for Sunday, sorry.
Okay. And Paddy, the Fred Darling 17 have been declared, and every one of them are already winners. So it's not easy.
Yeah, it's a proper race, and a real countdown style. I'll show you my notes here. I've gone for Lucid Dreamer as well.
There you go.
Frank said it all there, but I thought the form was, like, alcohol-free basically holds the key to the rest of them. There's a lot of the ones at the top of the market kind of tied into alcohol-free, and if you kind of just take it that it's group one form and it's good and everything like that, but Lucid Dreamer, I'm more of a dreamer than a believer in what we've actually seen. That's why I love the novice races and bumpers and all that kind of stuff. So I think the fact that Lucid Dreamer was kind of ran so green but still just dominated its previous race, that I think that just could be top drawer Lucid Dreamer. And I totally agree with Frank. I think she could be very good, so why not?
Brilliant. Two votes for Lucid the Dream. Okay, just so you're not being accused of copying, Paddy, we're going to start off with you and the Greenham. 12 been declared, all of one already. Frankel obviously done the double. Knight of Thunder got beaten by Kingman and went on to reverse the form in the Guinea. So it's generally an okay trial for the Newmarket Classic.
Yeah, it is. And funny, I was going through it. I started off with Chindish, and then I said, okay, right, I'm going to find something to beat Chindish. And I was going down through them, and you know what? I just couldn't find anything that I would fancy to be, like, Fundamental a second favorite. I just don't think Fundamental, the way it's been tried, I don't think it'll be considered like one of the best horses they've ever had, the Gosdens or anything like that. I think Chinda is just really straightforward. On good ground, he wins. And he obviously, it was soft in the Dewhurst when he was well beaten into ninth. But like all his race, and if you read the little analysis on the Racing Post, look up his form, all his race, every single one of them says, mostly coming from the back, and made smooth headway, so it looks like everything comes easy to him, and he's loads of ability. So I think Chindit could be just better than these.
And Frank, Chindit was the horse last season, I think, on the lead up to the Dewhurst. It was Richard Hannon Jr. or Pat Dobbs. Basically, the way they were talking about him, he couldn't get beaten the Dewhurst. I think he did an exceptional piece of work on the week leading up to it.
Yeah, just as Paddy's saying there about calling fundamentalist, and it's one of the probably horses that broke my heart as a young fella betting when he beat Inga's Dreaver. Is probably, if not my favorite horse ever, definitely one of my favorite horses ever. So that brings up painful memories, Paddy. Yeah. Thanks for that. But Chindis, look, I think he had excuses in the Dewhurst too. I think the ground was against him being soft. I think he didn't get a clear run either. And look, once Pat Dobbs kind of knew he couldn't win, he just took it handy and let him coast home. He's definitely better than that. Whether he's good enough to win at Guineas, I'm not sure. But his form is pretty solid. His time figure, Doncaster, was good. That Al Bashir was highly rated going to that race. I'd be very disappointed if he couldn't win this. Yeah, whether he can win the Guineas, I'm not so sure. But yeah, I think he'll win at Newbury on Sunday anyway.
Yeah, and he's 14-16 for the Guineas. Obviously, we were talking about the Fred Darling and maybe getting in at the 25s about the filly you fancy there. Is this a lad that, like, if he won well and he done what they've talked about him doing, could he be favoured on Sunday evening for the Guineas?
I don't know. It's like, we're just speaking there. I think Battleground's gone quite weak in the exchange as we speak for the Guineas. So maybe he's not going to make it. And obviously, you've got Thunder Moon, St. Mark's Basilica and Wembley, all relatively closely matched on the back of that Dewhurst form. I think it'd be difficult for him to be favourite, Rob, considering he was behind him in the Dewhurst, even allowing for the fact he had excuses. But you could definitely see him, if he wins this, you know, in the style that he won maybe the Ascot or the Champagne Stakes, the Ascot Lister race, the Champagne Stakes, you could definitely see him being single figure price.
Right. Let's finish off the Newbury card with the Spring Cup. Paddy, we're going five places, unsurprisingly, on this competitive handicap. And when you look through the form, quite a few of these have already won at Newbury. So course form might be the key.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad we're doing the extra place because it is open, really open. And again, going through it, I kept coming down on one and then saying, no, actually not, and put a line through it. And I kind of ended up coming down on Matthew Flinders, and basically just because I thought it hated the soft ground the last time, and it was only finished eighth. And the time before that, it was on decent ground and it won. And I just think with Oisin Murphy up, it could get in the mix. Drawn one, I genuinely don't know, is that good or bad at Newbury? But I think it might be in the mix at about 12-1, Matthew Flinders.
Okay. Frank, you love these races. No doubt you've probably something backed it at a huge price.
I wouldn't. Put anyone off Matthew Flinders. He was my second pick, really. But I have question marks about my pick at a mile, and it's refitch for Richard Spencer. All his form is over seven. He did win a Chester last year over 7.5, very impressively. But you just go back and watch the Lincoln, and he's travelled beautifully through the race, and he's just waiting for a run. He gets a bit of a gap. He starts to build up a bit of momentum, and then just at the furlong pole, he gets a bit hampered, gets caught for room, has to take a small bit of a pull, loses all momentum. He picks up again then to run on into sixth. Look, he's beaten five lengths. He wouldn't have won the race. Definitely not. The winner was very good, but it gave you hope that he'd get a mile. And the way he travelled through the race, you feel if he got a clear run on it, he would have possibly been like, you know, third or so. And again, he's a big price. I think he's about 16-1. I take a chance on that. Richard Spencer has had a winner in the last couple of weeks. He had two horses run really well at prices in the maidens at Newmarket during the week as well. So that's another bit of a positive. And Angus Villiers is a jockey. I think he's got plenty of ability, and he's taking a handy five off as well. So yeah, revitch for me at a price.
Brilliant. That's Newbury covered. Obviously, the big meeting on Sunday is the Scottish National card at Ayr. Really good supporting card. Paddy, I'll start with you. It's a 1:15 start at Ayr. Kick off with a listed handicap chase. Six runners, but all probably have chances.
Yeah, they do. And funny, it looks like a bit of a match. Well, it's not a match really, but King d'Argent and Grand Sancy, the two kind of French names, they're kind of vying for favouritism at the top. One for Skelton, the King, one for Skelton, and Grand Sancy for Paul Nichols. I've gone for King d'Argent. I thought it just hacked up the last twice. So he's obviously in good form and good health. And just another one for Harry Skelton's victory lap, I think. I think he'll just go out in front and win.
Yeah, and Frank, obviously Brian Hughes and Harry Skelton have good booker rides at Ayr, and this is a race that they'll probably want to get a winner on the board early.
Yeah, like, to be honest, yeah, King d'Argent probably deserves to be favoured, but it's not a race that really appeals to me from a betting point of view. Like, he has gone up £19 for winning a three-runner race at Southwell, and, you know, the race of Warwick wasn't too bad either, but did Benatar run during the week? He was due to run at Cheltenham anyway during the week. I can't remember if he won or not, but I think he ran disappointing, if I remember correctly. So, yeah, just the fact he's gone up £19 in two runs, I'd probably just leave this race alone, to be honest.
Okay. Well, we'll start with you the next race, because it's a handicap chase that we're offering an extra place on. And again, there's loads of horses here who are coming in with a recent win under their belt.
Yeah, look, we're offering the extra plays. I think there's only one you need. And that's Pilbara for Emmett Mullins. Look, yeah. I don't think anyone misses Emmett Mullins anymore. He's developing into a really shrewd trainer. And it's not just, you know, landing touches. You see with, like, the Shunter ran really well in the grade one at Aintree. He's had Cape Gentleman come over when the Dove cut at grade two. He's only going to start getting, you know, horses of a higher standard of quality as time goes on. And he's going to be a really good trainer. He already is, but he's going to become a bit of a force. And this Pilbara just looks a little bit laid out. Obviously, owned by Paul Byrne, who owned the Shunter. We all know what the Shunter did. Like, Pilbara was a bit progressive, actually, over hurdles last summer, starting off in handicaps off a mark of 88, made a mockery of that, won twice, and ended up running a really good race at Galway on ground that may have been soft enough for him when going off 3-1 favour, but that was off a mark of 122. So he got up £34 for that. He had two relatively quick runs over fences then at the Stowell and at Galway, but at Galway it was over 2 miles, 2 furlongs, which would be far too short for him. His improvement came when stepping up and trip to 3 miles. And lo and behold, here he rocks up off a mark of 125 up to 3 miles. And yeah, you're pretty sure he's going to be rated 140 this time next year, aren't you?
Yeah, and this is obviously early Friday afternoon when we're recording this, and he's a 4-1 chance. There's no reason why he wouldn't be fancied. Could he go off close to 2-1?
It is, to be fair, it is a relatively, like, there's no, like, outstanding, you know, opponent for him.
Yeah.
But it is a fairly competitive race with a lot of last time out winners. You've got, like, Maron won last time out, five-star getaways on a four-timer. Mac Totty won last time out. Inish Freelad won a decent race at Haydock. You've got one more, Flurries Unexposed, won nicely up at Warwick and would look well in under a £6 penalty. But just Pilbara, just out of Mullins, you just know this is well handicaps. And if he gets a clean round and a bit of luck, you'd be surprised if it doesn't go very close, at least.
Of course. Paddy, Frank thinks this is a one-horse race. Are you going to be looking at the extra place to maybe snap up some value?
Yeah, I think so. So he's talking about the Shunter. I'm talking about the Shunter's new owner one in here. The second biggest price, 20-1 shot, dead right for JP McManus. And, you know, on his day, he'd be pretty good, although unfortunately his day doesn't come around very often. And he was actually behind the Shunter at Cheltenham, and he was never in the race. He said the back the whole way around. And I just thought that maybe today might be a more realistic target for this lad than the Cheltenham Festival. And at 20-1, he won't be, if he's 20-1, he probably has no chance. But if the odds tend to tumble, and he's in, and there is some sort of layout for today, I think dead right potentially could get go somewhere in the mix. But yeah, Emmett Mullins on a any sort of trip across the water is one to obviously take note of.
Absolutely. Yep. Dead right running as well. First time after a wind up, which could be significant. Paddy, I'll start with you with the Scottish champion hurdle, because we've got Diego de Charmill, Milkwood Calicio. Obviously, generally, it's probably it's a good race or a hard race to win, but this looks winnable for the 10 that are in it.
It does. And it's always an open race. And as you said, a winnable race. And you look at those horses, like, say, Time White, who have backed about 50 times and just isn't that good. And he's 13-2 here, which suggests that, you know, it's not the best race ever. I'd love to see a more local trainer win it, because I just feel that they kind of get dominated by the southern ones coming up and taking their jobs and their women and their money and everything. But I think for me, I'm actually going to go for another smash and grab job. I think Anna Bonina with Brian Hughes could get a big winner under his belt today, or on Sunday rather. It's a 10-1 shot, Anna Bonina. And I'm going back to the old Belfast banter form, that great form from Cheltenham. That's now grade one form. Anna Bonina was five and a half lengths behind in the county hurdle, which isn't that far, but it was 125-1 that day. So obviously way outran her odds. I'm guessing she's a her, because her name is Anna. Yeah. Way outran her odds. And so just with that and a bit of local knowledge now at Brian Hughes in the saddle, I think Anna Bonina 10-1 could be an each way play.
Yeah, I think Brian Hughes has got a good strike rate as well for John McConnell. What do you fancy in the Scottish Champion Hurdle, Frank?
Oh, I'm just laughing that they took our jobs. I don't know if you're a fan of South Park. There's an excellent episode where I put it into YouTube and watch it. But they took our jobs. But I'm the same as Mr. Patrick Power and the Bonina. I'll show you my workings. But very much what Paddy said. I just think Drawing Ground's going to help her. John McCollum's horse are, you know, having a bit of a quiet period winners-wise, but some have run well. And like, she's got 3 lengths to make up Milkwood, but she is 2 pounds better off. And the bookie Brian Hughes is significant. And just again, I think she's about the 10-1 mark. I think she's got a fair each way price. David O'Shaughnessy only has to carry a one pound higher. Like, he's supposed to have a 7 pound penalty, but because a penalty can't take you above 11 stone 10, you know, he should be carrying 6 pounds higher, and you'd give him a chance. But for me, Anna Benina, look, it's just quite simple. Byron's horse have been dominating handicaps in Cheltenham and even Aintree with very small representation, and she'll do for me at that price.
I don't know if you heard that, Paddy, but Frank's actually copied you, so you've really made it now. You know that.
Well, we're going to go. It's like that Billy Joel song. We'll all go down together because we've agreed in a couple this weekend.
And at prices as well.
Absolutely. Right, let's move on to the Grade 2, the Future Champions Novice Chase. It's a small but select field. Frank, this is a race Paul Nicholls has dominated. He's won it 7 times. He won the latest renewal in 2019. And has he got a good chance with Tamrock the Mathan to lower the colours of All Mankind?
I do think he does. I think he does. I just think that All Mankind stepping up and trip, I'm not sure. Like, I don't know what to make of him. He can be a bit free and a bit headstrong at times. And I just think this Tamrock the Mathan's a very good jumper in the main. He travels well. I was a little bit concerned about him stepping up a trip for the Pendle, but it was no issue at all. The trip may even have improved him. He's had 3 starts up the fence. He's really taken with the way he jumped with Cantor on his chase debut. And his only defeat was when second to Shishkin, who is the second best novice chaser around after Energamine.
Well, we'll find out at a punch down, but Iguana, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully he runs. I don't think he'll come across. Jesus, it'd be excellent if he does. But I just think up the trip, I think Mankind will just end up setting it up for Tamrock the Mathan. And like, the thing is, I wouldn't discount Maelistic either. He's a very useful horse as well. And he'd have a chance. But I just think Tamrock the Mathan can give Nicholls another winner in this.
Yeah, win number 8. Do you concur, Paddy?
I absolutely concur, because I just think that All Mankind also just... It's a chance now All Mankind could go and blow them away, but I think All Mankind also comes here, probably had a hard season. I mean, just has been obviously aimed for Cheltenham, and then this is an afterthought. And while Tamrock to Mathan hasn't run since it ran ages ago anyway, and it beat the GAA law or whatever it's called, that horse. And so bit of better ground, obviously, we're probably waiting for good ground and gets to good ground. And as you said, Nicholls has a great record in the race. Nicholls' horses tend to finish the season strongly, don't they? Because he keeps them mad fit the whole way through. So I think Tamrock to Mathan, I'd strongly fancy him. I think All Mankind, he's going to be a bit of value actually at 15 to 8, because All Mankind is definitely going to be favourite. So I think Tamrock to Mathan is a decent bet.
Yeah, there's a feel that like Skelton stepping him up and trip as kind of resignation that he can't beat Shishkin. You know, to kind of find out, can he go the 2.5, like, can he aim at, you know, the Ryanair or, you know, Peterborough Chase, races like that next year. And I said that's what they're at, but...
Right, let's move on to the big one, the Scottish National. The best part of 4 miles. We're 6 places, Paddy. I was trying to look for trends in this race to give us a steer, and I couldn't find any, so hopefully your research is a bit better than mine.
Yeah, funny again, you go through like big open race like this, and especially all the places, you go through loads of them, and I kept coming back to one. It's like the top of the market, I Write. I remember Frank was really fancying that for the old Hennessy for the Ladbrokes Trophy. Yeah. I was second on that, wasn't it? But his favourite 5-1 is probably short enough for a horse that doesn't win very often. And going through them all, I kept coming back, and it's towards the top of the market, which is annoying because the form isn't top class, but it's a horse that knows how to win. And actually loves the good ground, really loves the good ground. We haven't seen the horse for a long time, well, since November, but it's won after break a few times. That horse, to put you out of your misery to suspense, it's Soldier of Love, again for Paul Nicholls to come and really appreciate the better ground. This will probably have been a plan for quite a while. 8-1 shot each way, probably be in the mix. I prefer if he was 14 or 16 to 1, obviously, but 8-1, you got to take what you can get. So I'll take that if I get 8-1 winner.
And Frank, obviously the ground is now changing. It's good ground as opposed to pretty soft during the winter. And as Paddy said, this lad hasn't run since November. You look through his form, he was winning on good ground in July, August, September, October. So do you look for a horse who's maybe going to be a bit fresher than the others and goes in good ground?
Yeah, if you look at the type of horse you want, there is a right mix. You have a few horses who've been running in, like the National Hunt Chase of Cheltenham coming here, winning Godsby Judge was one off the top of my head, and yeah. Beshabar was second, I think, in the National Hunt Chase behind Chicago Grey, wasn't it? He came and won the Scottish National then. So Soldier Love, I think, was entering the National Hunt Chase, but was he a non-runner on the day? I think he might have been a non-runner on the day. Maybe the ground wasn't quite good enough for him. But if you go look through his form, to be fair, Paddy Spann, like he beat Cool Cody in Newton Abbott in September, who went on and won at Cheltenham. He won the Paddy Power, didn't he? And ran a really good race in the Paddy Power Plate there at the festival. So his form is solid and he should stay and the good ground's in his favour. But I'm going to give you two against the field. One is a horse that I kind of been having on my mind for the Scottish Grand National for a long time, and that is Dingo Dollar. If you go back to 2018, I think I was really fancying for the Ultimate that year, but the ground was too soft, he didn't go. But he went up to Ayr for that 3 mile novice handicap, and he was just beaten a length off American Hunter 43 by Crossy Boy. He finished fifth in the Rasher Counters Hennessy, or sorry, Ladbroke Trophy. And he kind of been disappointed, but he switched to Sandy Thompson from Alan King relatively recently. And he bolted up at Newcastle off America 137. And he has an 8 pound rise here. He's got Brian Hughes on board. Sandy Thompson's another extremely shrewd trainer. He's very good. And like, if he's got this horse sweet again off America 145, if you go back to that 2018, he's only 2 pounds higher than going close. And the drier the ground, the better for him. And the other one I'm going to mention to is another horse that recently switched stable, and that's Coupe de Pansio. Now, my friend's pronunciation is horrific, and thank God PK is on, because he'd be ripping me.
No PK this week, so you're safe.
To rip me, yeah. But this horse was trained by Paul Nichols, switched to Nick Mitchell in December. Not too much promise in its first two starts, but stepped up to 3.5 miles at Taunton last time. I thought he won really nicely off a mark for 131. Been shoved up 6 pounds for that, but he was ridden more patiently there than usual. Angus Chileda takes off a handy 7 pounds. Drying ground should inconvenience because he's won good ground previously. The yard have had a decent season. They've had a couple of nice horses. Obviously, they were unlucky. Lieutenant Rocco missed out from the Ultimate. He was a strong fancy for that race. But the one concern I would have, all his winning has been done right-handed. So going left-handed is a little bit of a worry. But at 25 to 1, I think we can take a chance on that. And he'd be my second dart at the race.
And just on Dingo Dollar, I noticed Brian Hughes has never ridden him before. Not just because it's a Scottish National, but obviously he's in with a big chance of retaining his jockey's title. Not only is he going to be hot property for a race like this, but he's going to want to pick the best horse with the best chance, because at the end of the day, whether it's a Scottish National or a maiden hurdle, it's a winner.
Yeah, he would ride for Sandy Thompson quite a bit as well. But everything points to a big run from Dingo Dollar. I don't think the trip is going to be any issue. Look, he's never been beyond 3.25 miles before, but he was second in a Grimthorpe. He was third in a Ladbroke Trophy, fifth in a Ladbroke Trophy. You know, he almost certainly will get it. The key to him is the ground. He's going to get his ground. He's got, you know, an excellent jockey on board. Look, the price, you might have been hoping for a little bit of a bigger price. I mean, if they'd come here straight without a run, maybe you'd have got a wild price about him. But I think he's got excellent claims of hitting the frame. Look, it's a competitive race, but I think, what is he, 8 or 9 to 1 roughly? I think you'll get a run for your money with him. And I think Coupe de Pansio at a big price then just might be worth a couple of bob each way.
Brilliant, right? We've three against the field there. Obviously, it's a busy enough day in Ireland on Sunday. We've got National Hunt action at Tramore, 5 booked rides for Rachel Blackmore. And Paddy, we've got Dundalk as well, free to air on TG Car. Was there anything in Ireland that we should have a small few quid on?
I didn't really have to have a strong look at Ireland at all, Rob, by which I mean I didn't look at Ireland at all.
I meant to say, Frank, is there anything you fancied on Sunday?
I had a look at Tramore and I couldn't really find the bet. Now, to be fair, I was rushing. The fact that, you know, the big race were moved from Saturday to Sunday meant we have a little less time to prepare. But like, yeah, I couldn't find anything at Tramore. And I haven't had a proper look at Dundalk. We're trying to give anyone a steer there.
Well, as Ruby Walsh says, there's no point in giving out a horse just for the sake of it. You either fancy it or you don't. Right. Speaking of fancies, let's get naps. We've covered Saturday and Sunday, so the weekend naps. Paddy, I'm going to start with you because you are the flat king.
Okay, well, I've got...
I know you're going to give us a jumper, are you?
No. Well, I've got... Can I have three naps over 2 days? Is that a bit greedy?
You can have as many as you want.
Okay, so on Saturday, I'm going to nap Fiscal Rules, the Curra, the 235. I'm very encouraged by the fact that Frank agreed to me on that, even though he said at the start he was bang out of form. I think his form is just about to change.
And then
on Sunday, my flat nap is Chindit in the 320 at Newbury, and my jumps nap is Anna Benina in the Scottish Champion Hurdles. There's the three strongest fancies of the weekend for me.
Lovely. Well, Frank, we've got to get three off you. If Paddy's given us three, you've got to give us three.
One on Saturday, I'm going to go for the big price one from left field, the 6:45 in Nottingham, Coley's Coco. Look, okay, it's a little bit left field, but I don't think it's an overly strong race, and the horse is definitely well handicapped. It's definitely going to win a handicap this year. Off 60, she's going to race, I'd say, in at least in the mid-70s, at least before the season's out. And then to go on to Sunday, I'm going to concur with Paddy again, and I'm going to nap Chindit. Do you want a third? I will say, three bets. Look, I know it's not going to be massive price, but Snow Lantern, the vibes are very strong. If you just want, a Chindit Snow Lantern Dublin might be a bad way to go now on Sunday.
Yeah, a winner's a winner at the end of the day. Right, that's brilliant, lads. That's it. A huge thanks for your time and have a great weekend. And that applies to everybody listening. We'll be back early next week with our festival focus. But until then, stay safe, stay lucky, and have a great weekend.